First reading today, we hear about Abraham and the birth of Isaac and the things that happened around that point. And we hear about how Hagar and Ishmael are sent out into the desert. The area that they're sent into is called Beersheba. So this is in the southern part of Israel, and it is a desert area. The words Beersheba mean literally seven wells. So the fact that she found a well of water out there, well, that's what it's all about down there. They have seven wells out in that desert area. It's not a really horrific desert area that's further south in Israel, but nonetheless, a pretty desert area. It's also fun to watch all the things that we're told. Like, for instance, Abraham put the child on her back. He was 8 years old. It's not typical that an eight-year-old is going to be carried on his mom's back. That's why later on it says, lift up the boy and take him by the hand. Quit treating him like a baby. But we also have to realize what's going on here. As we heard earlier, that there's this problem between Hagar and Sarah, and now we see this continuing. These are the Jews and the Arabs. Ishmael is the father of the Arab peoples. And it's interesting even how it's stated in Scripture. We'll clean it up slightly, but it says he is going to be a wild donkey of a child. Look at his descendants. They continue the same thing. It is a family fight, and it's been going on literally for millennia. We're not talking decades or centuries, we're talking millennia. This is 3,500 years that this has been going on. And so the Israelites fighting against the Hamites because they were trying to usurp them. Now you've got it with Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael and all these issues that go on in the Middle East to this day, all go right back to here. It's all a family problem. And so it's not something that's going to be easily solved. And at the same time, it's something that we need to understand because some of this stuff just doesn't make sense to us as we look at the politics of it all and all the foolishness that goes on over there. Well, if you just bring it back to where it all started, it makes perfect sense. So you got problems between the Israelites and the Africans because that goes back to Noah. The Africans come from Ham. So the whole thing of going down into Egypt and the slavery in Egypt and all the different things with Egypt, those are the Hamites. So the Hamites and the Semites were not too pleasant with one another. Now you see with Abraham, you've got Ishmael and the Arab peoples, and then you've got the Jewish people, the Semites, once again. And you see them having problems. And you see it to this very day. Now that said, we then look at the gospel and we apply it accordingly. What a tragic scene. Tragic in the first sense that you've got two people who are horrible demoniacs. They are literally possessed by hundreds of demons. They recognize who Jesus is, and they beg him to cast him into the swine. So if you want to know just how bad hell is, not only would these vile creatures rather be inside of a human being than to be in hell, they would rather be inside of a pig than to be in hell. That's how horrible it is. And people think, oh, well, you know, hell will just be a day that's like 100 degrees and humid and it's pretty miserable. The people in hell long for a day that would be 100 degrees and miserable because that would be a cakewalk. No, this is not a place where you want to be. But the demons don't even want to be there, and they chose it. So you don't want to be there. But that's not the worst part of this whole thing. The worst part is what comes at the very end. The people from the town, having heard what happened, so they've had to deal with these two demoniacs for years. No one could even walk down the road because these guys would attack them. So what do? They come to Jesus and they beg him to leave. Really? You just got rid of hundreds of demons. No, we would rather have the demons than to have you. Wow. So why do we have these problems in the Middle East? We'd rather have the demons than to have God. We'd rather fight than have peace. We would rather hang on to our pride than to humble ourselves. We would rather do it Satan's way than God's way. What a tragedy. But it's easy to point a finger at what goes on over there. Each of us can just look in our own lives. How many relationships are we nursing grudges with? How many people do we refuse to humble ourselves for? How many situations are there in our lives where we would rather do it Satan's way than God's way? All these other people will do is just to provide for us an opportunity to reflect back on our own selves. Because we're probably all going to find some areas in our lives where we're not any different than they are. And what a tragic thing. But now look at our own society, where we have decided that God really doesn't have a place. But boy, do we rejoice in Satan. So if you look at it and say, okay, wait. These people wanted two demoniacs rather than Jesus. Well, we aren't that stupid. Really? We would rather have all the immorality and all the filth and all the selfishness and all the materialism and all the stuff that Satan is offering than to have it God's way. Oh yeah, maybe if they were growling and they were breathing fire and they were doing whatever, we would say, oh no, I don't want that. Well, Satan knew that. He's going to make it look fun. He's going to make it look exciting. He's going to make it look like something that you want. What is it that you want? You can just fill in the blank. I want whatever. I want fame. I want fortune. I want fun. I want excitement. I want glitz. I want glamour. I want whatever it is. He is more than happy to provide it for you. But there's a cost, and it's not being cast into a herd of swine. It's way worse than that. So each one of us really needs to ask ourselves, in the society in which we live, in which Satan right now is reigning supreme, do we want God's way, or do we want Satan's way? Look at what's going on in the Middle East. Look at the trouble over there and see where it comes from. And look at, ultimately, spiritually, where the problem is. And then let that reflect back on your own self. Where am I doing something similar to what they're doing? Where am I nursing the grudges? Where am I holding on to my pride? Where am I causing trouble? Those are things each one of us can look at and ask ourselves, if we look, again, it's easier to look at something objectively than subjectively, what should those people do? Now look back. What should this person do? Because it's easy, of course, for us to point the finger at the other one. Well, that person is such a jerk. Isn't that what we've just heard for the last, it's been in the news regularly. Oh, the Palestinians or the Iranians or the Israelis or whomever, we'll just call one another names, we'll tell everybody how horrible the other one is. Yeah, that's easy to do. it's not so easy to look back at ourselves. So that's what we have to look at. Look at what we're doing objectively, or just look objectively at what someone else is doing, and let it reflect back subjectively. Because sometimes we're the ones who are kind of a wild donkey. Sometimes we're the ones that are begging Jesus to leave. Sometimes we're the ones that are saying we'd rather have Satan than God. None of these are good things, obviously. And so let's do it God's way. That means we need to humble ourselves. It means we need to be peaceable. It means we need to be charitable. It means we have to be forgiving. It means we have to be kind. These are things that should come pretty easily to us as Christian people. But in a world that is influenced heavily by the demonic, it doesn't come so easily to us. So it's a choice that each one of us has to make. Look what happens 3,500 years later if we nurse the grudges. How long do we want it to go on in our lives? How long has it been going on? Let's put it aside. Let's reject Satan and all his ways, as we promised we would do on our baptism day. Let's choose God and do it his way.